Off the ball
on News Talk
in association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.
All right, it is that time on a Thursday evening where, as always, we're joined by John Giles. Evening, John.
Evening, Nathan.
And a happy Christmas.
And you and all the listeners.
So did you enjoy this time of year as a player when the games were coming quick and fast? Probably not a huge amount of time for training.
I used to enjoy it, actually, Nathan. In the old days, there was 3 matches in 4 days.
3 and 4 days?
Yeah. Yeah, whatever way they did it, might be just before Christmas or Boxing Day or just...
Play Sunday, or you might play Saturday, Monday, Wednesday?
Yeah. Saturday, Monday, Tuesday.
So you play back-to-back games one day after another?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you had one day, but say Sunday wouldn't be... Say you played Saturday.
Yeah.
Then you play Monday and Tuesday. Right, or you might play, depending on what day Christmas Day was. Like, you could play Christmas Eve and then Boxing Day and the day after, or 2 days before Christmas and one after, you know. Actually, I used to enjoy it, Nathan, and believe it or not, some days I used to feel better on the last day, on the third day, than I did on the first day.
You didn't see much of your family, I'd say.
No. When I was at Leeds for 12 years, so Don used to do us a big favour, Don Reavy. The manager, you just say, right, you can have your Christmas dinner at home, but you're in at 5 o'clock training. So that was a big deal for Don to let us off.
Right.
And then you're away for the rest of the Christmas after that.
Yeah, well, that was good that you got Christmas morning and you got Christmas lunch and you could relax just a little bit.
It wasn't
even
too bad. We didn't mind it, actually, Nathan. I think, if you're a professional footballer, you got a lot of holidays in the summer. So you got a lot of breaks anyway. But, I mean, the Christmas time, that was all part of it. Easter was the same. See, in those days, you had 42 matches now instead of 38. And Easter was the same. You played 3 matches over the Easter time as well.
Would you have played back-to-back games then? Would both of them have been at home? Or would you have had one game where you might be at Elland Road on the Tuesday and you'd have to travel somewhere then for the Wednesday?
Yeah, but to be fair to them, they used to keep it fairly local.
Right.
In those days, we'd be playing, say, Sheffield Wednesday or... Even Newcastle. Newcastle's not far from Leeds. So the travelling wasn't too bad. So I think they used to make an effort to do that. But that's the way it was. I used to actually enjoy it, Nathan, yeah.
Yeah, you didn't find it a bit of a slog. Was it a good opportunity to get some momentum going?
Well, it was. And lucky enough, with Leeds, we were always there or thereabouts. So the matches were vital over the Christmas. I mean, especially the Easter programme. You said, look, the league could be won and lost over Easter because you're coming near the end of the season. And it was 3 matches in the 4 days. But Christmas was a big time as well. There used to be some funny, it was amazing at the Christmas holidays, Nathan. I think it was one time, I think Blackburn Rovers and, say, West Ham played. And Blackburn Rovers won away from home, I think 4-0. And then the next day, West Ham won 6-0 at their place. there was some amazing...
So you played the back-to-back games?
Yeah, next day.
Wow.
Yeah, next day.
It feeds in a way to something that Jamie Carragher was talking about on Monday Night Football. He was in the studio with John Terry and they got to talking about teammates and the closeness that in the Chelsea dressing room, in particular under Jose Mourinho, with Terry, Lampard, with Didier Drogba. And Jamie Carragher was saying how he really doesn't keep in touch with any of his former teammates. He said, I speak to Stevie Gerrard now and again when he's at the academy. You have the odd text from an ex-player, but they're not your mates. They're your teammates. You're there to win, whether they're from Europe, South America, wherever. They're not my friends. We're here to win trophies. We can get together in 20 years' time to celebrate what we've done. Fantastic. I'll see you all in 20 years.
Yeah.
Does that sound like a rather strange... Is that a more modern dressing room, or is that just every dressing room is different?
Well, I can only go off my own experience, Nathan, and we were totally opposite to that. You know, there was a good spirit. Now, Jamie was playing there... when there was freedom of contract, teams weren't together for... I was with the Leeds lads for 12 years. They wouldn't be like that today. But I find that odd. I can only go off my own experience with the Leeds lads where I was there for 12 years, and we'd be very close today. You know, most of us, we'd keep in touch, and we were very, very close when we played together, which I think is a help. I don't think it's a necessity, but I think it's a help. And we would still be close today. Now, in my time at Manchester United, when I got into the first team at Manchester United, I started when there was the Busby Babes, and I think Bobby Charlton was very close to most of those lads. I wasn't because I was too young. But when the Munich disaster, after the Munich air disaster, the players were brought in. No Morten Sells, no Cantwell, David Heard. And in my experience, that wasn't a close relationship.
Right.
And I know.
So it was just a different group, or was that just a club still shell shocked from the Munich disaster?
No, it's just a mix. I mean, it was different. I know Bobby Charlton found it a lot different. Bobby was really into the Busby Babes, and he played in the Busby Babes, and he was pally with a lot of the players who were killed in the crash. But Bobby, I think, found it difficult to take to the players who were brought in, Nathan.
Right.
Now, for example, I know for a fact that when Law Best and Charlton played together, they didn't mix socially at all.
Okay.
But when they were on the pitch, you see, the main thing is what happens on the pitch, Nathan. But when they were on the pitch, they were real pros. So I can understand what Jamie Carter is saying. Lads can play, they're out to play, they're good professionals. And the thing is with football, it's what you do on the pitch is the most important thing.
Mm.
If you don't mix together, or sometimes you mix together and you don't do well on the pitch, well, then it's no good. But I think it's a help if you're really good professionals and you mix well as well.
How often do you still meet up? I know you, at your golf classic this year, you had Norman Hunter over.
Yeah, Norman and Peter Lurham and Eddie Gray were over a couple of years ago. And we don't get together as much as we should. But I was at Eddie's a couple of years ago where he had all the lads there. But it's as if we've never been apart, Nathan. You know, like when we were playing in behind the Iron Curtain in those days, you had to really stick together, you know, and that's like a bond. It's like being in the army together, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
You know, there's a bond there, and that's never broken, no matter how long you haven't seen each other. But the Leeds lads will be very, very close.
I want to talk to you about Dele Alli, who has taken a lot of criticism over the past few weeks for his form, and particularly over the past week for the way he's been playing the game, a little nasty streak, a real leg breaker of a challenge on Kevin De Bruyne in the defeat to Manchester City last weekend. He hasn't hit the heights of the last two seasons where he won the Young Player of the Year award, scored 18 Premier League goals last season at the age of 20, which is pretty remarkable. Just the three so far this season. Do you look at Dele Alli as a 21-year-old and think, all right, this is a crucial 6 month, 12 month period for him to make sure he stays on the right track? Or is this just the sort of thing that happens every young player that the quality players come through?
Well, it doesn't. If they don't, I think he's a very, very talented player, Nathan. But his discipline or indiscipline is there, and he does things on the pitch which he shouldn't be doing at any age. And I don't put it down to him being young. I think I think there's a nasty streak in him. I think there's a worldly streak in him that Kane, for example, doesn't have. I mean, Kane is a great example for Dele Alli. Kane is only 24 and he's been doing it for the last 2 or 3 years. He gets on with the job. Dele Alli doesn't. First of all, he's got a new agent, which is fair enough. But I think he's worldly, more worldly than Kane is and probably than he should be. To have the innocence that a lot of players have. I mean, he's well paid anyway. He's got a new agent. He's well aware of that. He's nasty on the pitch at times. And he needs to get a grip of himself to really fulfil his potential. Because I heard him on the paper last year. I don't want to take nobody's going to make me take the fire out of my belly and that. Well, nobody's asking him to do that. You know, you can still play with the fire in your belly, as Kane does, without going around kicking people and getting into trouble. He should have been sent off last week, Nathan. And every time I see him play, any match I see him playing in, he's very lucky not to be booked or sent off. And that's, you know, that could be a hindrance to him being a top-class player. And, you know, he's not doing it now. And his behaviour at times, or his indiscipline at times, it would be very, very worrying.
It's interesting you say it could be a hindrance to him turning out to be a real top-class player.
Yeah.
Have you seen many players at that age who have that fire in their belly, who have that hot streak, that just don't lose it and actually it does cost them as their career goes on?
Well, you see, the fire in your belly doesn't mean that you have to get sent off and be booked. I mean, if you look at Kane, I keep going back to Kane because he plays alongside him. Kane plays with everything that he's got. He's not nasty. He doesn't get himself into trouble. So just because you don't have to lose the fire in your belly to not to be sent off. And that. I mean, that's just indiscipline and bad discipline. And that's what Dele Alli does. should get on with the game and do the best he can. But I don't know, there's that streak in him that would make you doubt whether he's ever going to become the player that he should become, Nathan.
Does that affect the player he's going to become, like in terms of talent-wise, in terms of scoring goals, in terms of contributing?
Of he's too interested in getting into trouble. You know, instead of getting on with the game, you should be concentrating on the game.
So attacking like the one on De Bruyne, that's not just a spur of the moment thing. That's something that's probably in his head for that's distracting him for the 5-10 minutes previous.
Yeah. It's not the first time he's done bad time. It's not the first time he's been in trouble. I mean, it's been every time I see him, there's a good chance he does things to be sent off or certainly booked, and that's not getting on with the game. You know, you've got to get on with the game and do what your best, win the ball back, and everybody has fire in the belly, but they show it in different ways. But the main thing to do is to play well and score goals, not to be hitting De Bruyne or anybody else with bad tackles. He's no discipline, and he's a bit too grown up for his age, for my liking, to have the innocence that a lot of players need to get on with the job. You know, he's got a new agent. Now, I don't blame him for getting a new agent, because Spurs take advantage of thinking of the young players, but I think he's very aware of things like that, instead of concentrating on his game and becoming a better player.
What does Pochettino then do in a situation like this? What can he do to try and get rid of that indisciplined streak?
Well, I think I'd say he's tried very, very hard to do it, and he keeps doing it. Now, Pochettino has to say something in public. What he says in private is could be two different things. Like last year, he said, "I don't want to take the fire out of his belly," you know, but nobody does. It's not a question of taking the fire out of your belly. You can have the fire in your belly without getting into trouble. And I think he'll have a job controlling this lad. And it might get to the stage where the thing would be, look, we better get the money in that we can get for him now, if he's not going to change. And I think he should be changing by now. You know, he's 21, Nathan. But 21 is not young in football.
Well, not anymore, no.
No, I mean, he's been playing for 3 or 4 seasons now at a good level. And you should learn as you go along. And one season of bad discipline should be the end of it, and learn from it and get on with the job. But he hasn't done that. And he's if you're concentrating on doing what he's doing and having a go at people and that, you're not going to play well, because your mind is not on it. You're not concentrating on doing the job.
Did Wayne Rooney have that lack of discipline at that age?
No.
You don't think it was to that
Rooney
level?
Rooney was always good. No, Rooney was always good. Very good.
Did he not have a hot streak when he was a teenager, when he was in his early 20s?
A bit of a hot streak, but he never... I mean, if you go back...
There wasn't the nastiness in it.
No, I don't remember Rooney being sent off, for example. There might have been a few things that he did that he shouldn't have done. But overall, if you look back on his career, he learned from it. I don't ever remember him being a nasty individual and letting anything interfere with his performance.
All right, stay with us, John. Want to talk about Manchester United and their defeat last night. We're going to take a quick break, though.
Off the Ball on Newstalk.
In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.
You're very welcome back to Thursday's Off the Ball. John Giles is still on the line. So a pretty dramatic quarterfinal in the League Cup last night. Manchester United going out to Bristol City, an injury time winner for Corey Smith. Jose Mourinho said afterwards they were a bit lucky, but they fought a lot to be lucky. Everyone was waiting for a goal, so they were lucky. But I don't want everyone to talk about how lucky they were.
He mentioned it about 4 times that they were lucky, but then he didn't want to talk about it, Nathan.
Watching, and I was at the Hawthorns last Sunday for the game against West Brom, which seemed very run-of-the-mill. They went 2-0 up. West Brom didn't have a huge amount about them, yet they were hanging on at the end. Then they lose this game last night. Is there a potential issue for Jose Mourinho in the league and domestically between now and the end of the season that they're so far behind Manchester City, it's impossible to see them overhauling them and winning the title? Is there an issue for him keeping this group of players motivated in these sort of what could be seen as run-of-the-mill games?
Well, it's not good. They've had a poor run, Nathan, and they haven't played well. I mean, they didn't play well last night. I don't think they played particularly well against West Brom, and certainly deserve to be beaten against Manchester City. So I'd say he's a worried individual, and he looks a bit strained to me, Nathan. I mean, he's a great manager. He knows what's going on, and he would know this is not right. You know, they're not going the way and improving in a way that they should be. There's no doubt about that. And I think he looks strained. He would be, I'd say he'd be worried. I know last night, in the end, he took it well to say, well, they played well, which they did. But Bristol City were very good. And I don't think it could be any complaints about them winning. He would see that and know that. And this is not good for Manchester United.
That strain then that you might be seeing, is that him looking at the characters within the dressing room, even leaving aside the talent that they have, but looking at the characters within the dressing room and wondering who's going to lead us through this on the pitch? Who are the players who are going to keep everyone going, who know that finishing second is something that, like, it's to be the best result since Ferguson left the club, to have that inner motivation? Do you think he might suspect that maybe it's not there within this group of players?
Well, they're not doing it. They're not playing well. I mean, he's been in the job the same time as Guardiola. Guardiola's made his changes and he's put his own stamp on it now. I mean, if this is Mourinho's stamp on Manchester United, it's not very good. And he would know that. I mean, he would know whether the team is playing well or not playing well. I think it has to be a worry for him, Nathan. Definitely has to be a worry. I mean, Bristol City played well, but you would expect Manchester United, with the resources they have, to be able to take that in their stride, and certainly the other matches in their stride. But that hasn't been the case. I mean, they're way, way behind Manchester City in the progress that City have made under Guardiola, and he joined at the same time to Manchester United. And he would know that. He would know it better than anybody else, that the performances aren't good enough at the moment. And I can't see where, you know, he has any players to bring in that's going to improve that.
And that's been a constant issue since Ferguson left the club. Seven of the players who started against West Brom were there when Alex Ferguson retired. So despite spending over $600 million since then, only four, and I know there's a couple of injuries, but still, the vast majority of the team are players who are remaining. What is it about players struggling to come into Manchester United and adapt? Is it just simply the pressure of that, or is it that there's sort of a scattergun approach to their transfer market, and when they spend big on Pogba and Lukaku, it's probably going to work, but when they're spending 25, 30, 35 million on players, they just seem to be getting it badly wrong?
Well, you know, you can only judge the manager what he brings in and what he lets go, and I think after 18 months in the job, then it should be a settled side. As Manchester United's Manchester City's situation is, they've made progress. I don't think Mourinho has made that much progress, despite the fact that a lot of money has been spent, Nathan. And he would know it. I mean, it shows on the pitch. The great thing about football is if it's good, it manifests itself on the pitch, and if it's bad, it manifests itself on the pitch. And what's happening at Manchester United is not as good as you would expect it to be, or he would expect it to be. But that's down to him now. I mean, Forget about Ferguson's time. You have to judge the manager on what he's done. And within 18 months, a manager is putting his stamp on the team. And I don't think his stamp at the moment is as good as it should be. And he would know that. And he would be responsible for that.
Do you think he's embarrassed by the situation that United have found themselves in, that we're only halfway through the season and they're so far behind Manchester City? He's so far behind Guardiola.
Well, I think it'd be more than embarrassment. I think it would be hurt, because you can see it. It's in front of him. I think that's why he blew up a couple of weeks ago when Manchester City were celebrating after the match. He's a peculiar character, Nathan, I think. I think he's a great manager, but I don't particularly like the way he behaves himself. And in when Manchester City were celebrating, he went in and complained about them making too much noise. You know, that's just nonsense. And I think he's really feeling the hurt that Manchester City are doing as well as they do, and his team are not doing as well as they should be doing.
Mm. From what we've seen, I guess there's two ways he can react to that hurt. He can put the head down and work and try and get them back on track, or we can have the outbursts that we've seen. There's probably a very high possibility that actually the outbursts from Mourinho become more common as the season progresses.
I wouldn't be surprised with that, Nathan. My long-term guess is that Paris Saint-Germain will come on the scene.
And he'll take the opportunity and go.
Yeah, well, they have the resources. Actually, I think we talked about a few weeks ago where there was, he had a thing in the paper. It was like an application for a job with Paris Saint-Germain, because he's a wise guy in football terms, and he knows Paris Saint-Germain have the resources more so than anybody else now, I think, Nathan. But they don't have the manager, so that'll be my long-term forecast for Mourinho.
Just before we let you go, on tomorrow night's show, we've full live commentary of Arsenal against Liverpool in the Premier League. This game at the start of the season, Liverpool won 4-0 at Anfield. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain was on the opposite side. Jurgen Klopp saying this week that he thinks the biggest improvement and potential for Oxlade-Chamberlain is being involved in goal-scoring situations. It's unbelievable he wasn't asked to do this much in the past. Like, he doesn't have any sort of a goal scoring record at all. One or two goals per season. I think it's 8 goals in the last 6 seasons. Klopp spent 40 million on him. Is that solely the reason he's talking him up, or like, have you seen enough from Oxlade-Chamberlain over the last 3-4 weeks since he's been getting a chance?
No, but I'm amazed at Klopp's statements on that. I might have said to you before, Nathan, any manager should have a big sign in front of him in his desk: don't comment on other managers' teams or other managers. Now, I think this is an outrageous statement that he made. He's actually blaming Wenger for the lack of progress with Chamberlain. That's what he's doing.
Well, Wenger was his manager for what, 6 seasons?
Yeah.
If he didn't progress, does Wenger not have to take some of the blame?
Well, hang on a minute, Nathan. What about the lack of progress in Klopp's defenders since he's been there? In other words, he's enough problems of his own without highlighting a problem maybe that Wenger had. You know, and by the way, I saw in the paper this morning, he's made 14 appearances, I think, for Liverpool. And he scored 1 goal and had 4 assists. Right? Now, I know he didn't start every match, Chamberlain, for Liverpool. But is that great progress? But apart from that, he shouldn't be making any comment on other managers, what they did or didn't do. Because he's not blameless himself in what he hasn't done at Liverpool. And I think he should keep his mouth shut about other managers and what they've done.
Does Oxlade-Chamberlain have potential to be a goal scorer? Does he have potential to be anything more than what he is at the moment, which is a sort of bit part player for Arsenal for the last few seasons and now at Liverpool?
Well, I've always been disappointed in him, Nathan. I must be honest. I mean, I don't blame Wenger. He's had plenty of opportunities to do his stuff at Arsenal. And I mean, since he's gone to Liverpool, he hasn't played that much, I know, but he hasn't pulled up any trees there either. But if apart from that, I don't think Klopp shouldn't be making comments or bad comments, which I consider to be bad comments, about Wenger, because Chamberlain hasn't progressed the way he thinks he should. Has Lovren progressed? Matic progress? Reina progress since he's been there defensively? I don't think so. I mean, you know, that manager shouldn't make any comments or detrimental comments about other managers, and I think he was out of order to do that.
John, great stuff as always. Been a pleasure.
Thanks, Nathan.
Enjoy the Christmas.
And you.
Off the Ball on Newstalk.
In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.